lot better. This extra special
summer issue. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men.
Welcome, everybody. This is Room Tone, the radio show. We talk movies because we love it. Here we are on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, based in UBC, Vancouver. Today, we are joined. Woo! Incredible combination. And I'm so happy to introduce these two great fellas. And everybody, raise your hands. We have today Ali Kaladine and Arman Kazemi. How are you guys doing?
Yo, yo. What's up?
Hey, it's great to be here.
All right, guys. Welcome in. Welcome here to Room Tone, the radio show. This is the show that takes filmmaking's community to your ears. And I want to ask you guys, who are you?
My name is Armin Kazemi. I'm a local writer, journalist, documentarist, and filmmaker as of recently.
Right on.
Great. And I'm Ali Kaladine, founder of the Victoria Short Film Festival, which is coming up soon, and also a local filmmaker, writer, and just enthusiast of the beautiful arts that are sprouting here in Vancouver, BC.
Right on. Sounds great. Lots of saturation up in there. And let's get right into it. You know, let's get right to the juice. You know, people want the juice. Let's give them the juice. Let's get right to the juice. And let me ask you about the Victoria Short Film Festival. How did that idea come to mind? What is the process of it? At what stage of it are we right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are hosting the Victoria Short Film Festival. The deadline for submissions is actually coming up in 2 days. And it's been an incredibly exciting process to see a huge diversity of short films that are coming in. But what really sprouted the idea is that as a filmmaker myself, I've really been captivated by this idea of short film as a medium and understanding how we can use this medium to support emerging filmmakers, to support diverse filmmakers, but also to really push the bounds of experimental film, because short film is a really interesting format. And it's been exciting to see the festival come together and see really beautiful entries coming in.
We're going to explore the concept and the format of short films. But first, I want to hear from Arman, actually. Well, how do you feel about short films, and what is your role in the community?
Well, I come from a background in journalism, so I've done a lot of short documentary filmmaking. That's the format has been more newsy. So I recently came off of a project that is a short film about the Vancouver biking community that is much a big departure from some of the work that I've done before. So I've actually thought deliberately about the short film format rather than the news format. And it took me in some interesting directions in terms of how to structure a story, develop character and narrative, and also bring into the visual aspect of it as well that isn't so emphasized when you're just making a news piece. So I've thought a lot about that.
I feel you right there. So for the both of you, I feel it's very interesting to go and explore how everything reconnects over here, because, you know, we have the Victoria Short Film Festival. We have a journalist who's fading into documentary filmmaking. And I feel that there is a huge demand for short film content. And that's because it's more accessible, but it has also a creative reach out, you know, that beats any other medium out there when it comes to, you know, visual storytelling. How do you guys feel about that?
I think it's a format that a lot of people respond to now, especially it's just sheerly the length of time that you have to sit down. You're forced to think about flow and rhythm of the narrative in a much more deliberate way than in a longer feature. So I appreciate the concision and the barriers that it provides to the filmmaker in order to think creatively about how to tell a story when you don't have the arc of like a 90-minute feature film to elaborate. You have to be much more concise and much more in a way like utilize the tools of like poetry or like the written form, where you're sort of making a very deliberate choice in terms of visuals, symbols to tell the larger story that you have. And a theme is a much more pronounced aspect of it. I feel.
Thank you for saying that. Do you agree, Ali?
I do, Armin. And I especially like your point around theme there. You know, I think that I would say very few people would say that short film is popular in the public eye right now. But I think what we do see is that short film is really starting to creep in without us noticing. We're seeing more and more music videos that are striking, emotional, and have aspects of storytelling in them. And we're seeing news outlets and, you know, these short films that are educating us about what's happening that are taking on more creative elements and are taking on more documentary elements. Mm-hmm. And so, well, maybe short film is not as recognized as a medium that's popular, it is something that we're starting to see more and more of without necessarily knowing it.
I think that's huge. You mentioned music videos, because a lot of people wouldn't look at a music video and be like, hey, I'm watching a short film right now. But in fact, you are. If you think about, like, This Is America, which was a recent huge hit, a lot of people were talking about the visuals and what was happening in the video and not necessarily the music. One artist that I really, really appreciate is Kendrick Lamar. And he does huge things with his music videos. And they're like these like epics in 5, 6, 7 minute form. And when you watch them, you don't feel like it's only been 7 minutes. You feel like you've been taking on this journey. And the music is just an accompaniment to the visuals, rather than vice versa.
Yeah, from what you guys are saying, it seems like short films and especially music videos are a distillation, and they sort of crystallize an idea, a concept, an ensemble of values. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what short film can really reach and can really deliver. And that's why I'm so excited about the Victoria Short Film Festival, because I think that there is a need for something like this. Right now in British Columbia, we need something that celebrates this content. We need that reach out. And I would love if you could talk a little bit more about the film festival and what is the direction, what is the philosophy behind it?
For sure. So, you know, I think when you see short film segments in festivals and film festivals across the country, there's often this pattern where people make a short film before they make a feature film. And you get a lot of beautiful short films that way. But I believe we're starting to see this challenge now of what can you do with short films that you can't do with features. And I think the first place that that really sprouted and is really coming into its own is animation. But what we're trying to do with the Victoria Short Film Festival is to say, what else can you do with short film that is experimental and is unique? And what I see is that with short film, you can have a huge amount of focus on an idea, on an atmosphere, on a single character. You can focus on a moment, an event. You can focus on things that deserve to be held alone as their own idea, but couldn't hold someone's attention span for 90 minutes or would become washed out in that context. And with this festival, we're looking to find filmmakers who are playing with these ideas and who are playing with subtlety and are playing with nuance and really create a community around that. It is the first year, and it's been a huge process of reaching out across the country to filmmakers who are doing something a little differently, who are making poetry with their films. And what we're hoping to really do is, of course, showcase those artists' work and fuel the film community in Victoria, which is slowly growing, but as well as to really bring those filmmakers together into a community and into a community event.
Mm-hmm. So creating the community is at the priority again, huh?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you know, every person who submits, and we have students submitting films, we have first-time filmmakers, and unfortunately, as with any festival, we're not going to be able to say yes to everyone. But every person who does submit to the film festival gets a ticket. And so we're really hoping to see a lot of people come to learn about the medium. And it's hosted in an open space in Market Square. It'll be an outdoor festival. And we're going to have an after party afterwards for filmmakers to get together and discuss these ideas and hash them out. I'm hoping that as the festival launches, we're going to see more people get involved with organizing it and see it grow as a movement and a community more than just one night.
Of course. That sounds good. Do you have something to add to that, Armin?
No, I was just going to say I really appreciate that, because it seems like a community building initiative as much as featuring the artwork, because in Vancouver we have a huge filmmaking community, and there tends to be a lot of competition. I think the community building aspect of it has been sort of lost along the way. So I really appreciate the idea that, like, we're coming together and we're celebrating these films, but not only that, we're acknowledging that there are a lot of people who are contributing to the community, and without necessarily having a locus around which to gather. And I think the Victoria Film Festival, one of the services that it's providing, is not only a forum for a lot of these filmmakers, there's a lot of you know, new filmmakers, there's a lot more like sort of established filmmakers, but everyone's coming together and we're kind of celebrating the people and the art form and what we can contribute as a community rather than as individuals trying to vie for space in a very limited forum.
Thank you for saying that. That explains a lot about how you think as well. You know, the way you laid out the sentence was very interesting. Yeah, okay. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, yeah. Right on.
And I hope you...
Yeah, and it's an interesting point as well. I mean, I need an opportunity to talk about how much I love Victoria, which I live half-time there and half-time here in Vancouver. And what I've seen in the arts community overall is that in Victoria, unlike in Vancouver, we're not squeezed for space all the time. Mm-hmm. We're not in this constant race to be seen, but it's a place that a lot of people go to step back and find creative space. You know, I have so many collaborators and artistic friends who will come to Victoria for a week, and it inherently becomes like a residency, especially for filmmakers to take that break from Vancouver and get a little more engaged with the tempo of your thoughts and the tempo of life.
Mm-hmm. Pacing is key. Timing is everything. Timing is everything.
Especially when you have a very constricted format.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, I want to ask you something a little bit more sting, is something a little bit more practical when mm-hmm. it comes to short films. And this has got to do with the finances of it. What's your mindset around that, around the concept of, do you expect to, for example, make money? How would you expect to make money from a short film? Is that the right type of format for that stuff? How do you guys feel about that realm of things in short films?
I find the status of short film in general has been derivative to the feature format. So a lot of newer filmmakers, first-time filmmakers, they will make their short film not as an impetus in and of itself, but in order to as a stepping stone to get to that feature, you know, and that's why I find feature film has had, especially recently, has had kind of a maligned status in the world of cinematic art. And I think one of the things that, you know, Victoria Film Short Film Festival, for example, is trying to recuperate is that short film is its own art form, is its own format. It doesn't have to be evaluated based on the standards of a feature film. Mm-hmm. Much like short stories aren't a novel. You can't, there's similitude, but there's not equation.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that when cinema became an art form, the first films were short films. You know, there were 5-10 minute static camera shots of like something, and they took the concept of vaudeville and that kind of thing and put it on a screen. Mm-hmm. So our first films were short films. The Charlie Chaplin's The Tramp, which you had a clip of a Charlie Chaplin film in the opening, was at the racetracks. And that was a 9-minute short of a guy just like stumbling onto the scene. Mm-hmm. No one knew who he was. He invented cinematic culture in that moment in this short film. So I think we need to go back to the roots of cinema, and we'll find short film as the key, the keystone that created the art of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think we're going back to here.
So what you're saying is it goes back to shaping culture, shaping
right.
ideas.
And to go back to your question about finances, so people will make a short film in order to court the production companies, to court investors. And we're doing a disservice, I think, to the format by sort of... by prostituting our short films in the service of
that's an interesting way to put it. How do you feel about, look at Ali, I can see Ali, like you got something to say.
No, it's great. I mean, interesting metaphor. But at the same time, I mean, it leads to this bigger question, which is, when did we get to a point that every film that we can see in theaters is a narrative? I mean, when did it get to this point from early cinema where now, I mean, I think the only large-scale film I can think of off the top of my head that's popular that's a non-narrative is Tree of Life,
mm-hmm.
a film like this. And there is so much more you can do with cinema. You know, there is so much more that you can do than just telling a story in a linear way.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Armin, I actually think you do a really beautiful job of that in the documentary you've just made, which I had the honor of watching this morning, as I know you just finished it.
Mm.
But you capture an idea, you capture a community without saying A and then B and then C and then right. D, and here is a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I approached that project. It's called Recycle, and it's about the cycling community in Vancouver based around our community bikes. And I did approach that project initially as a reportage. You know, I wanted to get the story, get the elements, what's working together. But as I was making the story, especially post while I was editing it, all these different themes propped up. There was the theme of like transport. I had a lot of visuals just by happenstance of the SkyTrain, and the SkyTrain became this like this element of the film that kind of brings out the notion of dynamism of getting from one place to another, not just geographically or physically, but emotionally in the lives of people who are. So basically, our community bikes has this program called Pedals for the People, where they take donated bikes from the community, they refurbish them, and they give them back to people who have transportation issues. So these people are going through a trajectory in their lives, not just physically, but by regaining a status in the community and regaining self-esteem and to be able to access sort of income opportunities that they don't necessarily have had before. So the notion of transport is a foundation element in the film.
How did you get into that community? What pushed you to make that project happen?
So I was volunteering for the program, actually, Pedals for the People. So they take people who are interested in learning bike mechanics, and the process of teaching them bike mechanics is a totally volunteer-driven course. The bikes that they learn to build on are the bikes that are subsequently distributed to the community. So I was a volunteer. I was interested in learning bike mechanics just so I could fix my own bike.
Mm-hmm.
In the process, I had a film. I had a friend who suggested I submit to this film festival in Mexico called Ecofilm.
Mm.
And their theme this year just happened to be sustainable transportation. And I was like, I don't know anything about sustainable transportation. I'm interested in biking and stuff. But it just clicked. Like one day I was just like, I'm part of this community. I have access to all these people, all these narratives, these like amazing characters. The idea just presented itself.
It felt natural.
I didn't go looking for it. It just popped into my lap.
It came to you. So, and that's the most beautiful thing about these types of projects and documentary filmmaking, mm-hmm. that there is a calling for it. And sometimes you can be the only person to tell that story in that moment and in that way.
Right.
Answering that call is important. How about answering that call, Ali? How do you feel about that answering the call, you know?
That's an interesting question. I think ultimately we know as artists that people find their ideas in different places. And sometimes when I ask the question of what can define me as an artist and where do I go and what can define those artists who I really respect, it comes down to this very internalized process of finding concepts and filtering those concepts. You know, for me, I often spend 6 or 7 months wrestling with an idea and trying to find a way to portray it, which is a really different process than what Armin's working on. And I think that ultimately trying to reconcile your own thought patterns when it comes to creativity is really important. I think that getting caught up in this idea that you should have la coup de foudre and be struck by lightning with an idea, I think that's dangerous to filmmakers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes a concept needs to be bubbling for a long time before it becomes something really beautiful.
Okay, this is an interesting concept. Thank you for sharing that, because I know that many filmmakers, that are me included, I live for that moment of light, you know? I need that moment to be able to feel for the story, and that's something very interesting. It opened a new door for me, so thank you for sharing that. And Armin, you got something to say before we take the break?
For me, that like strike of lightning, it comes subsequent to the filming process. I get all the material that I can. I have a general concept notion of what I want to do, but after I'm like looking through the footage, I accumulate all the material, then all of a sudden it opens up to me, like, this is what the story is about. This is what the theme is about.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it comes back to the idea of community. You have all these disparate people in your life and different groups of people who are doing different things. And somehow they all coagulate. They all congeal together, and all of a sudden you have a story. And that's what happened in my case. So I wasn't after a story idea, but the story idea presented itself just by sheer virtue of the fact of being part of all these different initiatives.
It's wonderful to experience the juxtaposition of the, you know, of the lighting, you know. Mm-hmm. And somehow I can resonate with both of you, even if I feel that in my case there is an instinct, right? There is an instinct that leads you to a path, and then you understand only when you look back, oh, this path is about this or that. And I think that there is a little bit of that everywhere, even in narrative filmmaking, you know, like fiction and any other type of content and art form. Because sometimes people believe that we are defined, you know, we define the art by what we are. But sometimes it's the opposite. The art defines us. And that's an interesting concept. But we can explore that. Actually, I would love to take the break right now so that we can come nice and prepare right after.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Today's soundtrack actually comes from, I made a little research and we have the Victoria Short Film Festival coming up. So thank you, Ali, for talking about that. We're going to talk about that later too. So I thought, what was the first film festival that was ever, was ever delivered? It's actually in the Venice Film Festival in 1932. So I said, what's the soundtrack, the Venice Film Festival in 2017? And that's The Shape of Water. So this is Chica Chica Boom Chick. Interesting name right there. Yeah. By Carmen Miranda, the soundtrack of The Shape of Water. Enjoy, everybody.
Faz tica tica bum tico, pra eu cantar o tica tica bum tico, com a canção do tica tica bum tico. Meu coração faz tica tica bum tico e vem a saudade da Bahia, onde o samba tem canjeira também numa batucada. Tic tic bum, tic 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 bum, tic tic bum, tic 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 bum. É brasileiro, tica tica bum tico, com um pandeiro fazendo tica bum tico. E para terminar, um tica tica bum, vocês devem cantar o tica tica bum, tica tica bum, tica tica bum, tica tica bum tico. That's all you've got to say. Do beijinhos away. Chica chica boom, chica chica boom, chica chica boom, chica chica boom, boom 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 boom, boom chica boom 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 boom, boom chica boom 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 boom, boom chica 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 boom 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 boom.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Room Tone, the radio show. We talk movies because we love it. And here we are with Ali Kaladine and Arma Kazemi and talking short films and the platforms for short films, the power of the short film in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you guys, where do you see short films going, especially when it comes to film festivals, to submitting to film festivals, or when it comes to you, Ali, when receiving content and short films for the Victoria Short Film Festival?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like your question kind of has two parts there, which I appreciate. One is, where are short films going? And like we were able to touch on earlier today, I think we're going to start seeing the use of high-quality filmmaking in our day-to-day much more. And I think we're already starting to see that, which makes festivals like the Victoria Short Film Festival, which I'm the founder and curator of, incredibly interesting as a place to practice, connect, and really push artists in what they can create in the format of a film that's 20 minutes or shorter. You know, the process of curating a film festival is a challenging one because, we get a lot of submissions and you have to have so much respect for everything that comes in. And there's such a diversity, especially when it's our first year. And so people don't have a benchmark of quite what we're looking for except what we can express verbally.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an interesting process of often watching every submission that comes in multiple times and finding its essence and finding its motivation and finding what it's doing. I know that some film festivals, it ends up as a bit of a competition of prestige. You know, it's getting those films that are going to be seen as the highest quality films of the year. For other film festivals, it's just a matter of being able to have enough content that is good For us, luckily enough, we have a little bit more clear of a direction with the film festival, in that we're really trying to create a movement of experimental film. We're really trying to support emerging artists of diverse backgrounds, and we are trying to create the sense of community of people who are doing something different and new, creative and beautiful with the format of short film. And so
That sounds great. That sounds like a great plan, right? Like a great dream, great mission. And I feel very positive about this event. And I would love to take the audience a little bit into a sneak peek of how it is to create a festival like this. And, you know, just to get an idea, even get into the numbers, how many films do you guys receive and how many of those films can you actually screen? It would be interesting to look at that and how you plan to actually, how do you choose the movies? How hard is that process?
Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't done it yet. We're still open for submissions for another couple days, and then we've got a couple weeks of choosing and curating. You know, I'm lucky as well to be working with a team of great people. And actually, the film festival is run out of Gallery 49, which is an amazing emerging artists photography gallery right in downtown Victoria. And so working with those folks who have an incredible eye for visuals, for art, is very helpful when it comes to curating. I mean, the thing is we'll probably get 10 times more films than we can show. Mm-hmm. This year, the event is one night. It's outside, and so we can only screen after dark.
Okay.
And so, realistically, we'll be selecting about 3 hours of films.
Okay.
And so far, we've received about 40 hours of films in the submissions. And so, yeah, it's a tough process. I guess part of the mission is keeping the folks who submit great work, whose work doesn't fit, around, and keeping them engaged.
Mm-hmm. So it's trying to tell a story with the micro stories. Tell a macro story with micro stories. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit what happens in journalism as well. Do you agree with that? Trying to create a flow, especially when someone is dedicated to a specific newspaper, to a specific topic. I know, Arman, you have done some work around the Olympics, if I'm not wrong, right?
Right. Yeah, I did a reporting project at during the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea behind that was to tell the story of the local communities and the impact of the Olympics through their eyes. And when you mention, the journalistic imperative, you're trying to tell a factual story. You're trying to tell a day or a moment in the lives of these people who, you know, they live more than one day, but you're trying to encapsulate everything that they are in the moment, you know? So this narrativistic, character-driven aspect is alive in journalism. Even though you're trying to tell a factual, quote-unquote, objective story, you have to introduce elements of the narrative because you naturally want to engage your audience.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe objectivity exists?
I don't know. You want to get into that?
Yeah, let's get into that, man. Let's head dive into that.
No, I don't know. By the sheer fact of observation, you're altering what you're observing, I think. And that's kind of a truism. But the true journalist or the true like artist is alive to that fact, and they shape their practice around knowing that whatever they're doing, they're naturally altering the space that they're trying to reflect or to represent. So as artists, we have to sort of also be keen to the lives that we're altering in the process of telling them.
Mm-hmm.
So objectivity doesn't exist, but it's also a virtue, not a detraction, I think.
Oh, it's a virtue. Okay, interesting. Very interesting. Do you agree with that, Ali? Does objectivity exist?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Yeah.
Please excuse me.
Idea.
But I do love your point, Armin, very much. And it actually reminds me of a project of mine that we made last summer that you were a part of, in which, unlike you, we weren't filming reality. It wasn't a documentary. It was a experimental short that was non-narrative but creating an idea, essentially the delight and demise of redundant risk. And what we did is that we had everybody who participated in the film actually engage in the ideas that we were talking about. And so bringing people out to actual locations to climb the outsides of buildings and sit high up in windowsills to play chess and ride their bikes down massive staircases and dance in downtown fountains in the middle of the night with no permits. And this actual process of creating experience to film experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of feels like the flip side of the awareness that by filming what is actually happening, we change what is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
But by creating what we're filming, we change the people who are a part of that project.
this really resonates, and it brings me back to a quote that goes and really explores the concept of beauty, because beauty needs a witness. And I think that that's what film is all about, is becoming that witness to beauty. What is beauty without a witness, right?
Yeah, and there's also, well, there's a tendency to always anthropomorphize the field, you know, like we enter a beautiful meadow and we talk about how beautiful the meadow is, but the meadow itself doesn't know it's beautiful, you know. It needs the like human observer to become beautiful in a way, and that's the thing, in the observation of its beauty, we're both participating in the creation of that beauty, and we're altering the beauty itself. So
wonderful. Well, I guess we all really love making movies here, huh?
Welcome to University Radio, everybody.
And watching. Sorry.
Yeah, but thank you for sharing that. That was a really interesting combination of words right there. Huh? Yeah, I want to know where you pulled them. You had them ready in your pocket or something. What happened there?
I walked in with a dictionary.
Right on.
Armin, since I am here in the room with you, I would actually really love to know more about, you know, I've been pretty deep in the process of curating short films, and you've just finished one. What has your experience been like as you reflect on submitting to festivals and are really starting to engage with that process?
Right. So that's the thing, is like, I'm kind of new. I'm, you know, first time filmmaker, even though I've done journalistic work in the past. So I'm new to the whole administrative state of the film industry. So the whole imperative to like have an IMDb page, to like get your social media on track. Like there's this whole like bureaucracy that's around it that is foreign to me. And it's in these moments that I understand the virtue of having like a production company or something.
As a festival curator, is this something, how important is that to you, Ali? How important is the bureaucracy and the context of the movie?
Well, for me, very little. But that doesn't mean that that would be the case for other film festivals, right? I mean, we're small, we're not for profit, we're aiming for something really different than some film festivals are aiming for. You know, I don't think I've taken a look at anybody's IMDb page. I'm taking a look at their films, right? And being able to take that time to watch someone's work with that really careful, non-distracted engagement is an amazing opportunity.
And that's the thing, is that the clout that comes with all of that, the baggage of having to be able to represent yourself in an online fashion. I mean, film festivals existed before the dawn of the internet. You know, like people were able to get their films out. So there's this whole like artifice, I find, to the modern bureaucracy that surrounds filmmaking, which I think something like the Victoria Short Film Festival is trying to deconstruct a little bit, to like go back to the essentials. And obviously it's a smaller production, so they have the leeway to be able to do those things. Once you get into the bigger festivals, obviously people want to know that you have a reputation. They want to know that your work has been screened elsewhere to ensure the quality of their production, right?
Of course.
So it's constantly negotiation, but going back to like the reputation aspect of it and the competition to vie for those limited spaces, it's necessary, but also can we acknowledge that and maybe supersede that in a way?
There is an aspect of filmmaking that is very close to politics. Do you agree with
that? It's all politics, man. It's all politics.
Look at that cheese. Not bad, eh? Yeah, you said it.
You know, I think from my perspective, as a filmmaker and as someone who's seen a couple friends' films and filmmaking careers really take off, if your work is good and if your priority is to create something that has a strong emotional experience for people, something that resonates, something that stands out, that's the most important thing. And in my experience of curating, you know, I've seen a film come in from like an 18-year-old who's made their first film ever and they shot it on an iPhone. And we won't necessarily show that in the film festival, because part of the curation experience is for the viewers as well. That doesn't mean that that person's work isn't going to stay with me, because it has some amazing elements of storytelling and of angles and of capturing something that's original. I think that if we can focus on making films that are powerful, that's what you need to be doing to have your films take off. Because there's a lot of people who will find you and who will bring your films to other people and who will help you get that reach. I don't think you need to be an expert in social media to have your film take off. Because to bring it back, Armin, to This Is America, This Is America didn't take off because it had a Facebook page. I mean, I'm sure that there was a lot of production and a lot of money and a lot of strategy behind it, but ultimately it took off because it was good.
Yeah, I mean, the specific case of This Is America actually has, there is a lot around that idea, right? There is a lot. It's not only something about the project itself, but everything that happened before. And I think that the success of the project lies in the in flipping the omelet of the moment, you know. But that's a longer discussion. Something that I'd like to ask to Ali is actually, how was your experience submitting to film festivals?
Oh, it's been interesting. It's it feels very cold and it can feel very distant until you start to get those acceptance messages, right? I mean, the project that we filmed last year, we have been getting acceptances to film festivals around the world, which is really exciting. And it is a daunting process, and it's hard to know which festivals to choose. It's hard to know where to spend that money. I definitely encourage folks to reach out for grants specifically for paying submission fees. But when it starts to come around, you get a lot of momentum. And once one festival picks up your film, then it really starts to go from there. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I've experienced is just amazing interactions with people who, again, coming back to that idea of someone taking the time to really watch your film, and if they liked it, they're going to give you incredible feedback. Right. And so, you know, you're paying a certain amount of money hoping that your film's going to get in, but more than that, you're asking an industry expert to watch something that you've put a lot into and watch it carefully. And that's a really amazing experience when it comes back to you.
Okay. Definitely. It's interesting to have someone like you here talking from your perspective, both in front of the film festival and behind the film festival. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited to see how the Victoria Shore Film Festival is going to shape in the following years. And with that, I want to ask you, where do you guys see yourselves in 5 years?
I'd like to, like, I've done a lot of, factual, whatever, like, production. I'd like to get to modify that practice into the fiction format and start to bring a documentarian or journalistic view aspect into creating my own characters, my own storyline. So I've written some short films. So just bring that to light, and with the more experience actually developing these ideas, transition that into film, into fiction film.
Okay, so you see yourself exploring fiction films.
I'd love to break down the barrier between these like very specifically defined genres. Like I'd love to bring back cinema verite. You know,
all right.
I'd love to sort of redevelop these discourses that have been lost in just the sheer imperative to make a beautiful movie, you know. Mm-hmm. There's so many beautiful movies that aren't very good, you know. Mm. Just like making like just the nicest shot on the best red camera with the best lenses and having, like, you know, like post color correction. But in the end, I've always believed that a good movie exists on the page. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a good story on the page, it's like baking a cake with like gorgeous icing, but in the middle, the like cake is rotten. You know?
Yeah. I feel you. That's a good metaphor. Yeah.
So it comes like, if you don't have a good story, you don't have a good movie. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for saying that. Where do you see yourself in 5 years, Ali?
Okay, 5 years. on the festival side, I really hope that the momentum we've had with the Victoria Short Film Festival this year continues to grow. I hope that we see that community that I'm looking for, and that we see that community in between the actual event that's happening every year. I want to see filmmakers who want to make something experimental coming out to us and asking for tips and asking for advice, and we're holding workshops and this kind of thing. And I want to see it grow into something that gives people the confidence to break down genres, to find a way to tell a good story and complement it with beautiful cinematography. And not just beautiful cinematography that looks like all the other beautiful cinematography, but that does something different, that's based in concept.
Yeah.
On the filmmaking side, I'd love to just, I mean, I'm hoping to keep up the momentum. I collaborate with Bray Joystad. We've put out 6 films this year already, and keeping that going and getting to a point that as a director and writer of films, you know, I'm making things that I'm proud of and making things that are impacting people. And I'd eventually really like to be in a place of having a production company that helps other people tell their stories as well.
Mm-hmm. Right on. So before we take the last break and then we wrap this whole burrito up with the 1 minute pitch and the Proust questionnaire, I want to ask Ali if you can give us the technical details of the film festival, of the Victoria Shore Film Festival, and when, how can people submit, and when the actual festival is taking place.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks for that opportunity. So It's tight. It's tight as a deadline. Submissions are only open for 2 more days, with August 1st, this Wednesday, being the final day to submit. And I hope that folks who have finished projects will do that. And if you want to, reach out to me and send me your film before you submit. And I'd love to talk to you about it. You can find us on Facebook, the Victoria Short Film Festival, or victoriashortfilmfestival.com. Submissions are through Without a Box. And I mean, I think it's going to be a beautiful event. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hosted in downtown Victoria in Market Square. We're expecting pretty big turnout. It'll be on September 8th that we're showing all the films to everyone. I'm really excited for
it. Yeah, I guess we all are. Is there a cost to submitting?
Yeah, the submission cost right now is $20, as it's the late deadline.
Okay.
You know, we have to pay our judges. I hope it's accessible for folks.
I see.
We're doing
our
best.
Yeah. We understand. And Arma, you wanted to say something? I see you. You have something to add to that?
All right.
I somehow felt like you wanted to say something.
Coming from a perspective of someone who's just getting into the process of submitting, it's good to know there's not just this like faceless bureaucracy that is facing you, that is getting between you and your audience. You know, it's like they are generally filmmakers themselves who are trying to make an informed but subjective judgment about your film. So it's not always a reflection of the quality of your film. It's just what they're looking for in terms of style, theme, and subject matter as well.
So. Yeah, I think it goes down to that a lot. I mean, apart from the biggest film festivals, that of course there is an aspect of politics involved, but mm-hmm. Usually it is like that, yeah. And we have to be aware of that.
Right.
And that's when the film festivals round becomes a game,
right.
Becomes a game of ideas, becomes a game of values, and it's hard to play, you know, with those aspects because there is so much that depends from it. But thank you for sharing that. You know what? Let's listen to this beautiful soundtrack from The Shape of Water. This is Baba Luba, Ekaterina Valente, and Silvio Francesco, the soundtrack of The Shape of Water. Enjoy, and then we wrap this whole episode up. Everybody, enjoy.
Quiero pedir
a Babalú
una negra muy santa como tú que no tenga otra negra pa' que no se fuera Bambalú ayer, Bambalú ayer Bambalú ayer, Bambalú ayer Bambalú ayer, Bambalú ayer
A Babalú
una negra muy santa como tú tú ru ru Babalú ayer Babalú ayer Babalú ayer Babalú ayer Babalú ayer ay lo quiero pedir Babalú ayer negra muy santa, Babalú ayer, Babalú ayer, que tenga dinero y que no se muera. Babalú ayer, Babalú ayer, Babalú ayer, Babalú ayer.
Wow. Welcome back, everybody. This is Room Tone, the radio show. And as you already know, we talk movies because we love it. And this is all about love. This is all about community. We really enjoy what we do here. We're joined by Ali Kaladine and Arman Kazemi. And it's time for the one-minute pitch. Are you guys ready?
Ooh, yes.
Are you ready, Arman? You want to make it happen? Okay, Arman. Look at that.
Do you want to go first? Or? Okay.
Are you ready? Okay, I'm gonna get this clock going in 3, 2, 1.
Okay, well, in the interest of community, I have a non-film project to pitch. I'm working with a couple of friends in Vancouver who engage in different ways with local communities, and we're starting an initiative called the Localist Club, where we are trying to redefine the tourism in Vancouver and bring the people who are involved in the communities to represent themselves. So we want to be the bridge between the tourist trying to find out about the city, but give them a real look at the city, at the different communities in the city, and allow the community representatives to build their own narratives, to tell their own stories rather than us being the guides. So it's called the Localist Club. And if you want to find out more information about it, you can email our founder at Saba, at thelocalistclub.com. And so, yeah, we're trying to bring community together, and we're trying to redefine tourism in Vancouver, and we're calling it Localist.
Awesome. Sounds great. That's an interesting concept right there. I don't know if I've seen something like that before, and that's why I'm so curious about it. Mm. And I definitely want to keep ears open for that. The Localists, right?
The Localist Club, yeah.
The Localist Club.
We're going to come out with a website and all that good stuff in the near future.
All right, all that good stuff. Awesome. Ali, it's your turn. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
And there we go.
Yeah, so I mean, as its founder and with the submission deadline 2 days away, of course, the project I want to pitch is the Victoria Short Film Festival. It's the first year it's running. As folks have probably picked up from this episode, it's a film festival that's about bringing forward emerging artists, experimental artists who are working with short film, who are pushing what this genre can be, who are bringing poetry, who are bringing beauty, who are bringing concept into short films and making stuff that is amazing. So we have 2 more days to submit to this festival, and I hope that we will see not only films but also communication from people who are interested in this genre of short film. For those who'd like to attend, come on over to Victoria. It's a bit of an artist's retreat. We will be screening films on September 8th in Market Square, and this has been an amazing project. It's run by Gallery 49, a great photography studio in Victoria. Myself and the folks at Cinevic, MediaNet, and so many filmmakers have been incredibly supportive of it. We're building a great movement. I'm really excited.
That's awesome, and that's 1 minute perfect timing right there. So we have a couple of very interesting ideas, lots of a very strong creative flow over here. I'm very excited about that. And with that, we're going to moonwalk all the way to the Proofs questionnaire. Are you guys ready? I'm going to pick 5 questions randomly from the Proofs questionnaire. Proofs believe that we could define someone's true identity by answering these questions. So right. We'll see.
Rock and roll.
Let's dive right into it. And the first question of the Proofs questionnaire is, what is your current state of mind? Interesting, huh?
Is this a one word answer or is it?
That's you take your time, go for it.
Amphibian.
Current state of mind in this moment, very peaceful. It's really beautiful to be in a room with you two and to recall that there are so many people doing very interesting work. It's settling for the artistic and weary mind.
Interesting. All right. And that takes us to the second question of the Proofs questionnaire. Woo! If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? These questions take a little bit of silence usually. It's normal. Let it all out. Don't think about it too much.
I'm going to jump off of Armin's last answer saying that he's feeling amphibian, in that if I could change one thing about myself, I would like to be able to change genders very fluidly and go back and forth. That would be really nice.
Okay. Ooh, and how come? That's a very interesting answer right there.
Oh, I just think it would be interesting, don't you?
Okay, just... Okay,
it's
exploration.
Very, what's that Margaret Atwood novel?
What are you going to say,
that,
man?
That this character exists throughout times and throughout genders and throughout styles. Orlando, right? Or something. Anyways. Yeah, that it's.
Yeah, just talk. The microphone doesn't bite you, man. Just talk in the mic. Yeah, make sure to let it all in the mic. Yeah.
to address that question, I would love to have each strand of hair as a different antenna point, communicating to a different frequency that picks up the cosmic radiation that is constantly flowing down.
Yeah, all right. All right. Very interesting. Both of you are definitely open to new experiences and new perceptions. That's very interesting. Now,
yeah, maybe we should start making science fiction films, aren't we?
In the style of Jean-Luc Godard, you know, Alphaville.
Okay. Third question of the Proust questionnaire. What is your most treasured possession? You guys are
10 fingers and 10 toes.
Okay. Especially for that capoeira flow, for sure. You want to make sure you have that. Yeah.
for various different things.
Yeah.
I'm going to be boring and say my cello is probably my most prized possession.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Armand, do you play any instruments?
I played the guitar. I played the guitar for about 12 years, and I also play an instrument called the berimbau, which is a capoeira instrument. That is very interesting. So if you're not familiar with it, go online and type berimbau and you'll see some interesting stuff.
Yeah, there is a spiritual layer to that instrument there, too. Absolutely.
It's kind of like a weird instrument, but bringing it together and putting it into the cultural context, it can be transcendent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you for saying keywords right there. Keywords. And this leads us to the fourth question of the Proust questionnaire. Whoop. When and where were you happiest? Good questions. Look at you guys thinking right there. Don't think about it too much.
I was happiest in Dover, England, maybe 3 or 4 summers ago. We were at a family wedding, and we were like in the countryside, like sheer countryside in like England. And we were at this family wedding, open bar. And I just remember coming back to our bed and breakfast, which was opposite of this like stone church. And I just remember being highly intoxicated, not knowing where I was. And I just like moseyed into the like cemetery of this stone church building, falling backwards on my ass in the grass. And then what opens above me but the entire panoply of the stars in the sky. And I saw all the stars in the sky, and there was this like thread work. It was this tapestry of like gorgeous light, and I was just like I had this like moment of like coming into myself, and I was like, this is the most complete moment. And I was I was drunk, but I was also I also transcended my inebriation to sort of connect with what I consider the divine.
Arman, what a character you are. All right, wow, look at that. How about you, Ali?
Well, let me start by saying that I definitely don't see happiness as one point and one time. Mm. I think that it's continuous, and it's something that you add to and take away from through different choices. Mm. But a recent experience that I had was so beautiful is, I think if there's a lot of filmmakers listening to this, we know that especially when you're on a low budget, you're often waking up at dawn to catch that beautiful light before the sun really rises over the horizon. And we were down in the on the beach in Victoria near James Bay a couple weeks ago, shooting a project for an amazing band called The Aerialists. And there's long grass, and the ocean waves were crashing in against the shore, and this massive wind picked up that was blowing everything around as the first specks of sunlight started to come over and dance on the water. And I think that when you're in an environment like that and you're able to capture that beauty, you're there and you're seeking something beautiful, and then the beauty turns itself into the environment all around you, it's this amazing feeling of completion. And being able to catch that on film is very lucky. I think those are the moments we live for.
Didn't John Lennon say happiness is a warm gun? I'll go with that.
Ooh, thank you for saying that. That's such a good quote right there. 100 points for Arman right there. There is a very strong visual descriptions right there. I can tell you guys, with that visual, with that photographic memory right there encapsulating the moment.
I think the Beatles said that ironically, and I hope you are too.
Well, you know, I think there's many ways you can. There are many versions of a warm gun. It doesn't have to be, you know, firearm.
Yeah, for sure. Very interesting. All right, let's go to the fifth question of the Proust questionnaire. Woo! And let's touch the other side of the table. Let's go to, what is your greatest fear?
Do you want to take that one?
Like, my greatest fear is being unkind and not realizing it.
Okay, that's interesting. So one fear could be lack of self-awareness. That's a very interesting point. Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody has that fear in a way. Hopefully they have that fear, because that encourages people to behave differently, right? The fear of misbehaving or lack of self-awareness. Do you resonate with that, Arman?
Yeah, absolutely. You always want to sort of... I think negotiating the self is an ongoing project throughout life, and I think Socrates said that the life unexamined is the life unlived. So we're never coming to we're never ourselves. We're always in the process of becoming ourselves. And I think maybe to touch on that, I wasn't sure what to say, but I think my greatest fear is to reach a point where I don't have anything else. Like, where if I've reached a point where it's like, I'm done doing what I have to do, you know, I always want to feel the need that, like, there is a, I never want to be comfortable. I think comfort is my worst fear. Financial comfort, intellectual comfort, creative comfort. I never want to reach the point where I'm like, I'm finished doing what I have to do. I always want to feel the burn, the hunger of creation, that something is left unsaid, and I want to find the best means of saying it. And to me, form is the ultimate vehicle of expression. Not the words, not the visuals. Form is everything that is ever possible to be expressed.
I really appreciate these words. You know, there is definitely a lot of goal and a lot of juice in what you just said, and I think that it resonates a lot, especially for filmmakers and storytellers, because at the core we are storytellers, and we have to remind ourselves of that. We have to respect ourselves, and as you said, negotiating with the self to understand our angles and our space, it's probably the hardest game of all.
I think once we rest on our laurels, we have no more laurels to gain. Yeah.
Wow, that's the way to wrap it up. Now, I think this it's time for us to fade into the main theme of The Shape of Water. By the way, soundtrack by Alexandre Desplat, amazing
great,
soundtrack.
Great, yeah.
Before we go, any shout-outs or any wrapping thoughts?
I'd love to give a shout-out to Ali Kaledine. She's doing great work. I appreciate her initiative, what she's bringing to the community, not only as a filmmaker, but as a film aficionado. And she's inspired me in a lot of ways, not just in film. We also share a mutual love of poetry, and every time we connect around the banner of the word, and the word as a vehicle of connection.
Wonderful. Yeah. Ali?
Well, just a huge thank you for hosting this show always, and for hosting us today. And I hope that it's allowed some people to connect with the genre of short film, with the community we're creating in Victoria. And a congratulations to Armin for all of the work that he's doing and for finally daring to eat a peach.
Awesome. Right on. Well, guys, this is the end of the show, and I wish you a beautiful week. What a great way to kick off the week. Here at Room Tone, we talk movies. Ooh, look at that. Jeez, look at that Italian Italian language kicking in. But we talk movies because we love it, and I'll catch you guys next Monday here on 101.9 FM on CITR Radio. Ciao, ciao. Enjoy the soundtrack of The Shape of Water.
Grazie.
broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are speaking with Michael J. Gelb. He's the author of The Art of Connection, 7 Relationship Building Skills.